Okay, McFadden, you had asked for the step.
First, I just want to comment that at the end of the budget here, you have that nice graph. And what the graph really shows is that since 2011, revenue has been pretty flat. There was a lot of growth going back to 2004, went up, peaked in 2009, dropped off, and it's been pretty flat. I mean, there's little oscillations there. But so I think we shouldn't be thinking that this is going to be a growth if you're going to be basing it on that graph. Number two, I see how the line 41,000, so the revenue affiliation income, and it's based on this expected, which you said was contract. But as I recall, not all the contracts come to fruition. And so I'm wondering what my first question is, what was the expected contract in actuals in fiscal year 23, which resulted in 195? Wasn't it quite a bit higher than that? And that's, you know, that not all those things get paid. And
I
recall, it was like a 15% of them don't get paid.
That's a little high. I don't have my spreadsheet.
Okay, 12% or 10%.
Just this PDF, because I'm not at our office. I'm at home right now. But let's see. What was your question? What our expected was in 2023? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I assume that's what the budget was. It's the 2030 was expected. In 2023, but
well,
you only got 195.
The 2030 wasn't the expected. The 2030 includes like 3% growth from expected 2023. I'm going to pull this out of the top of my head as far as expected affiliate revenue was. Okay, we have uncollected from 2023. We have uncollected about 8.5%. So that comes out to, I've got that here.
Okay, that's a good enough number. Then I can go to my next question. So it seems like what you should do then is take the actuals for 2023 and say, okay, we're going to have X amount of growth, whatever is kind of allowed, because we're going to try harder. We got to get our act together, whatever it is, you know, but there ought to be some limit. You can't say, wow, we're going to double our income next year. You can't do that. And it seems like from 195 up to 230, that's a pretty substantial increase, you know, in expected revenues. And that to me seems a bit unrealistic. You know, and I assume it's partly unrealistic because not all the revenues, you know, come through, you know, so you're 20, if you just said we have 226,000 in contracts, but we know that some amount of those contracts are not going to come through. And historically it's 8% or 10% or whatever it is. That ought to be somehow figured in this, and so the 230 number just seems a bit high for any realistic budget.
Okay, just to interject for a second, the 8.5%, like I said, is what's uncollected for 2023. That is not to say that that is the amount we end up writing off. We want that to be, of course, much lower, you know. But realistically, I'd say 5%, 4% perhaps. I couldn't say exactly because we don't know. Is what will be uncollectible. Okay, so it's not 8.5% that would be uncollectible. That is what we still have on the books for 2023.
James, did you have a follow-up? I'm going to put myself on the stack for a follow-up on that, if you don't.
Well, I guess I'm just like, I don't quite understand that. It's, I mean, I would assume that the uncollected revenues from 2022 then would have gone into the actuals for 2023, or is this maybe the actuals, or I don't quite understand what the actuals for 2023 are.
The actuals for 2023 are the contracted affiliate fees and IT services for the fiscal year 2023. They don't include,
okay, so
they don't include 2022 fees that were collected in 2023.
Okay, so the anticipation is that those actually are going to get collected then
yeah,
at some point in the future.
Yeah.
And when they are, they'll be added into the actual when we see the budget next year. Okay, I think.
Well, no, we
I
don't.
Think I,
we don't add prior fees. And yes, it will be part of the actuals. You're correct, yes.
It won't be actuals for 2024. It'll be actual. It'll go. You'll stick it back in the 2023 and adjust it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, it would go back into 2023. Yeah.
Okay.
If I could interject, James, for just a moment, we had this conversation last year, and I think what happens is that 8.5% is still outstanding, but it's coming in gradually, and it's been coming in, and it will continue to come in for a while, and maybe it'll finally settle out at 5 or 4%. And that's what happened last year and the year before, and then you roll it over each time. But so my question is, at what rate is that 8.3 coming down now? I mean, I know it's spotty and it's sporadic, and it's sometimes you get a piece and then you wait for a while, but are you on a trajectory where it will, as you said, it'll settle down into 5 or maybe even 4% uncollected, and then it'll finally be a write-off at that point?
Yeah, we do some in-person negotiations with stations, get an idea of their financial situation, and you know, try and negotiate something that's satisfactory to both parties.
Yeah, we're not the evil Pacifica Corporation that's trying to beat down these people who owe us money, and you know, we're trying to help independent radio stations thrive,
right.
and you're trying to control people and convince them and talk them into, you know, paying up, and it's a back and forth, and it's not like a collection operation. It's
absolutely
more of a conversation.
Not.
Got
yes. it. James, I think also a little, you know, part of the answer to your question is in that at the end of the day, it usually gets down to a few stations that say we are absolutely penniless. And we can't afford affiliation anymore. And at that point, we always say, okay, we're going to take a step back. We'll waive the fee and then tell us when you can start paying again. And that's kind of that 4% that Ruth is talking about. There are always some stations that we hound them enough. They finally throw up their hands and they say, you know, I'm writing everything out of my bank account, blah, blah, you know, I mean, some terrible story emerges and we say, okay, you know, we have loyalty to you. So just, you know, forget it and talk to us when you can recover. And we found in general that approach has bred tremendous client loyalty and usually pays off in spades over time because people actually do
yes.
come back and yeah. So, but that's a lot
that's
of times
that's
that,
where I was headed with
that's
that,
that
yes.
4% of just really sad stories where you just kind of give up.
Yeah, and it's a perfectly logical business practice that you're doing. You're allowing people to survive to try again, and you know we go back to them and sometimes it comes through and they remain on the air and then they contract again with us, and it's a strategy
yeah.
I think that's tried and true and has worked over the years. And it's producing actually a maximum result rather than just cutting people off or just writing it off, you know, and saying to hell with it. this you're
yeah,
actually maneuvering to get the maximum result. Exactly.
Yeah. But that's that 4%.
Understood. James McFadden, were you done?
I was just going to mention one thing. This is just because I thought it was the first time I looked at this, I didn't quite understand how it was put, but there's a on the net operating revenue, net revenue, those two lines, there's a minus sign in there. It's just sitting in front of the dollar sign. And it was kind of like I didn't notice it.
And that's
just,
one of my
questions. I thought I would point that out. It was a small net loss last year then, rather than a small net gain. But it just kind of was, you know, I looked at the numbers and didn't see how they added that way. It seemed like it was off by a minus sign, but it's hidden there. All right.
What line was that? Was that 64,200?
Now, the net operating revenue and net revenue, the last two lines of the budget, there's a little minus sign in front of the dollar sign.
It's a very small minus sign.
Kind of hiding.
Yeah.
the
minus
there.
Sign is very
small. But it was a
small
number. It's, yeah, the $1,300 in question is a teeny part of the budget, but it's still it's there.
Oh, I now see it. It's in front of the dollar sign, yeah. That is an odd place for it, isn't it? I didn't see it before. Yeah.
Anyway, so I'll defer to anyone else.
Okay. Is there any other – who else has a question, please?
Arpal?
Go ahead, Arpal.
Okay. A couple of things. We have a PDF file. Well, hold on a sec. Oh, pardon me. I'm sneezing here. Yes, that minus sign. You can hear me, right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I might have blasted the phone out of existence. Yeah, that minus sign there is probably another example of why doing budgets in PDF files instead of spreadsheets isn't optimal. And I do wish we were getting actual spreadsheets with all this. Then you can check things and look back and all of that. Gee whiz, has the PNB adopted that policy, or is this just an executive director policy at this point in time that we're going to do it by PDFs?
Well, I mean, I would have provided PDFs, but they weren't requested. This is just
you mean spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets, yeah. I would have provided spreadsheets. This was made from my spreadsheet. I would have provided spreadsheets, but, you know, the materials, there wasn't specifications as to the materials to provide.
I want to back Ruth up on that. This is something we ask for every year, is for direction on what you want from us. And honestly, we will comply, but we do not know what you want.
Yeah, well, that's probably a discussion for another time right now with the budget. I see. So you're saying that FY23, if I could scroll back, the actuals for FY23, you're saying end in negative 1,300 or so. However, when I look at the consolidated for PAN on line 28, net loss and all of that, it comes to just short of 39,000 as of August 31st. So in the month of September, did PAN get about 35 grand all of a sudden?
Are you looking at the department financials?
Well, I'm looking at the I'm looking at the consolidated financials,
okay.
Period ending 8/31/23, and I'm looking at the PAN tab, and it lists just short of 39,000 for a in the red there. So that would mean about $35,000 in revenue came in that month.
No, I don't think we received $35,000 in revenue in September. We did receive, I mean, September's a big month for revenue, but I don't think it was 39. There's a fundamental thing here. Our accounts were set up in QuickBooks. The national office does the books differently. I don't know I don't know. My books are straight on my end, their books are straight on their end, but there's some difference there between how they were set up. I don't know.
Okay.
We don't use Great Plains. They use accrual basis, which is probably, and my reporting here, actuals are on a cash basis.
Right. Okay.
So
the
national office financials on an accrual basis with a negative 39, I mean, that's going to show outstanding receivables, which is not what a cash basis is going to show.
Okay, so the difference is the well-known difference between QuickBooks and the Microsoft software, the Great Plains, formerly Great Plains, that Pacifica National uses. I'm familiar with the differences that happen between those because the WBAI general manager uses QuickBooks as well. Okay, so let me get back to that thing. All right, so your bottom line, what is your projection for FY24 here? Perfectly balanced, absolute zero? Is that, you know, that's what you're going to end up with, is just it's absolutely balanced? Is that it?
The budget as proposed is balanced. Yes, we've proposed a balanced budget.
Thank you.
Beth, with
the go ahead, Beth. Before you go, Beth, I want to just make a note that it's now 9:51, and I want to ask Fred, do we have Mark Torres on the line yet, Fred?
I believe so.
Yes,
okay,
Mark Torres is here.
If you can bear with us, Mark, we got a late, we had a slow beginning to this meeting with a lot of procedural stuff, and we're suffering for it now. So I hope you can bear with us a little bit while we go through this. Is that okay with you, Mark? We may have to extend the meeting a little bit.
Roger that. I'm here.
Thank you. It's appreciated.
Can you add me to the stack, Jim?
I heard you. Yes, Kim, I got you.
Thanks.
I did. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, I've got a question. It's probably more for the chair and the ED, maybe the secretary. I remember that while we had the benefits of NEDA in our accounting practices, they were in the process, budget by budget, of standardizing our bookkeeping and moving us toward revising our, I'm going to forget what we called it, the chart of, it'll come to me, but they had gotten through some or most of those budgets, but not, that's it, but hadn't gotten to all of them. And I would hope now that, though we no longer have the benefit of their services currently, that we would build on what the legacy they left us. And as we write budgets year by year, bring the remaining budgets into alignment with the template left for us by NEDA. And I guess I sort of assumed that that's what, that was the direction everything was moving the last time we talked about all of this. And it's a little worrisome to me that, that I thank the Pacifica network, affiliates network for the information they're providing us. And I'm sorry if you weren't given sufficient direction about format or template or whatever. I agree it would be helpful to you and to us both if you knew what we were looking for. And so I would, does someone else have a more complete memory of where we left all of this? And is it possible for us to move in this direction of standardizing our chart of accounts through all the remaining budgets as we move forward? I don't know whether the affiliates budget was one of them that had been, that Netta had touched. I would think it might be because it's one of the simpler ones. But Stephanie, can you shed any light on this?
Yeah, there have been no changes to the chart of accounts. Everybody's account number for listener support is the same across the board. The format is basically the same as well. That breaks it down on a bigger scale of month to month, and that's how they figure it out. The form that was used for the budgets was not something that Netta created, but it's been created in the past, and it's very complicated and very difficult to look at. I mean, as far as the number of columns and the number of sheets, but the chart of accounts has remained exactly the same. So there isn't, if that's what you're referring to, as some sort of general, you know, for something to be consistent across the board.
I was
car donation, their car donation account number, you know, how that's listed on the GL is the same number all across the board. And then
right,
what
then,
you're seeing with the affiliates is rather than it being broken down month by month on how they got these numbers, they have that. And it's reviewed on a regular basis. And this is the total. So, you know, when they're reviewing their budget or when the stations are reviewing their budgets with the with their local finance committees, they see it broken down on a month by month, which then turns into these numbers. And then as far as a spreadsheet versus a PDF, there have been budgets that have been submitted to different committees as an Excel, and then people unexpectedly may go in and start just futzing or hitting something incorrectly because they're wanting to take a look or check on formulas, and then numbers are changed. But then they don't know where to go back to in order to see what the original budget was, because people may accidentally futz around with a formula or a number, and then it now messes up the Excel that they have. So PDFs, you know, obviously lock something in place, so then we can make sure that when we're looking at the budget, we're looking at the same numbers and people don't have an opportunity to accidentally hit something that may change a formula or change a number.
I agree with Art Paul's perspective on this. I appreciate his request to have the information. You want to provide a PDF also so that we have one set immutable set of information, that's fine. But to actually work with the data, it would be helpful to have it also in the original spreadsheet format. Thank you.
Okay, is there anyone else requesting the stack?
Yeah, Kim.
Put me at the end.
Yeah, I had Kim. Go ahead, Kim. Well, there you are, Paul.
I will state again, I have an issue with this QuickBooks versus the national office format, and I went back and forth between this PDF and the national office numbers and categories, and they don't match. and they should match. This is, no unit should have a separate set of books that don't comport with our official national office consolidated financials. I mean, it's more work for the auditors and for the business managers, and they're just, they need to match. I know there's a way. They have to match. I mean, look on, I assume, Ursula and Ruth, look at the consolidated that you get from the national office, and you can see that they don't match. And, you know, it's kind of, they've got to match. So I'll just leave that there. And as to, and yes, I would absolutely want a spreadsheet. I always copy, you know, I always make a copy before I start messing around in case I make a mistake and want to go back. So as to the fulfillment, I am uncomfortable with this increase of revenue based on the actuals. And I think the national office, all the revenue is cash. So their revenue should match your revenue. But they do accruals for the expenses. And I have a feeling maybe invoices aren't getting to the national office. I don't know, but that's they've got to match as well somehow. And if you're expecting money to come in from 23, and where does it go if it's not just going into your affiliate income? If you put it in the bank, it goes in your bank account, and you're saying you're not counting it as affiliate income from 24. Well, then where are you putting it? And then where are your total? How do you reconcile your monthly revenue? I mean, that doesn't make sense to me, because the fulfillment is kind of a revolving process. I mean, I know with the stations, I've had to take that into consideration, you know, for all these years. That stuff comes in from last year, it gets thrown in listener support. That's just the way it goes, and it's revolving. But that's taken into the formula of the fund drives for us. So I don't understand what you think you're doing with this unfulfilled stuff that will trickle in during the year. And I do think that, you know, you have the same anticipated revenue this year as you had last year, and it was, as you said, 8.5 under. So basically we say that, I don't know what the formula is, we don't generally increase revenue 8.5% from the actuals into the budget. It's generally lower, and we see if they can match that. And I believe last year we have the same issue where your anticipated was a lot higher than what had been booked. So I don't know what we're going to do about it tonight, but this is something on my radar. That's all I can say. That's it.
Thank you, Kim. Our Paul.
Model's debt.
Okay. Regarding, again, a little bit, the PDF versus a spreadsheet thing, we did talk about this when the executive director brought in a single sheet.
Can you suspend for a moment, please? There's the echo is back. Would everybody please mute? Please mute. Go ahead,
one. Okay. We talked some months ago when the executive director brought in a single sheet with everything on it, and we were, you know, some of us were not thinking that was the best idea in the world. But to say that the PDF makes it so people can't accidentally change something, that's a terrible reason for that. That's a bad business idea. If you have a spreadsheet, you have it backed up. I mean, you have to have it backed up. And if you're sending it out to, like, the NFC or the PNB, you're sending it to them probably in an email. So if they take it and save it and then screw it all up, they can just say the hell with that and grab the spreadsheet from their email again. And certainly the national office will have the spreadsheet to send it out if nobody else has it, which I think is an unlikely thing. So really, a spreadsheet is kind of fundamental and necessary, and the PDFs just don't do it because, you know, we can't just look at it and see how things are added up and all of that, and it's simply way too simple-seeming to me. So the idea that we need a PDF so people don't screw up the spreadsheet, I don't think that's a viable reason right there. Thank you.
Thank you, Art Ball. I'm going to put myself on the stack after Kamau and recognize Kamau. Go ahead.
Thanks, Jim. I don't know if this is probably more of a process question around the budget. The last year, now this year, kind of going through budgets, I've noticed this kind of same argument between what the station management is doing versus what ends up becoming the financials at the national office. Do we have any suggestion from audits in the past and or this prior firm about actually having a uniform presentation across the entire network here so that rather than operating in silos, that the affiliates, the national office, all the stations, the archives, we all have the exact same mandate and process for producing budgets? Is that not something we've ever discussed at Pacifica? I'm just kind of – I guess that's for you, Jim. I don't know.
Kamau, I'm going to take a stab at answering that, if you don't mind, while I put myself on the stack. We were trying to do that. That was – one of my personal goals. And at that time, we had a CFO, we had outside accounting, and we lost NETA. We don't have a CFO anymore. They were our CFO for a while. They provided a CFO for us, and they provided outside accounting. We were getting good advice, and we were moving in that direction. But obviously, we lost all of that, and now we're kind of back to what seems like somewhat of an ad hoc basis. And, yeah, it's not good. We cannot afford the professional help that we need. And it is a problem, and I see it as a problem. And I agree with what Kim said. It's on my radar. I'm looking at it. But I have to ask the question now, what are we going to do with this budget now? Because we really do need to decide what we're going to do here, because these are not questions for Ursula and for Ruth to answer.
Right.
These are questions for us as an organization to answer, and it's not even just for Stephanie to answer. It's for all of us to try and put our heads together and figure out how to proceed here. But then the question comes, what should we do with this budget that we have here now? Are we satisfied that it's representative enough of what's happening at the affiliates and it doesn't represent any major deficits or there's no major missing pieces here, and that we can recommend this to the PNB for now as a go-ahead, and, you know, of course, with the goal of coming back to this and getting something more uniform and something more complete in place. So that is a question I'm going to, I guess, pose to Stephanie and anyone else who wants to take a stab at it and see where we go from here, because we do have one other unit waiting on the line here. We have Mark Torres from the archives, and we want to try to get to him. And I briefly am hearing that echo again, so could everybody please mute?
This is Kim. I'd like to be on the stack so I can mute myself and you won't hear my echo.
Okay, go ahead, Kim.
Well, I think this is a deficit budget based on the affiliate income. And, you know, we're still behind on getting current financials, so I have no idea what the first quarter is looking like for the affiliates. I mean, if we could get that, and I suspect Ruth has that, that would help me inform a more educated opinion. Since she does have that and other units don't have that, if we could see what she's got, you know, what's happened for September. Well, we have, I guess, their end of year, but October, November, and December. Then I could more properly, you know, determine. Also, just quickly, Kamau, you'll see the consolidated. That is what Netta really cleaned up a lot. So they cleaned that up, but they couldn't stop this QuickBooks stuff that's where we're at with some of the units who refuse to comply with the consolidated format. I'm done.
Kim, this is Ursula. I'm not sure I understand your question correctly, but in the introduction, Ruth did say that 30% of the projected revenue had been received this quarter. So does that answer your question?
No. I'd like to see the numbers.
Well, you can do the math. I mean, it's 30%.
Well, I'm not that quick, Ursula. I can't do the math.
Right.
So,
but I mean,
I would like to see a spreadsheet.
We did
if you have them. Pardon me?
I mean, there is information about this quarter. We have 30% in this quarter.
That's okay. That's not what I had in mind, but thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Kim. Who's that?
James,
Ursula?
Can I more thing? I wanted to. I mean, Kim, you asked a lot of questions, and so I'm not going to. I mean, it was interesting, your whole kind of scenario of questions, but I wanted to respond to one of them because it kind of jumped out at me. You were asking, so what do we do with the money that comes in that is kind of posthumous, so to speak? And I'm not speaking for Ruth here. I'm not the business manager, but based on past practices, it would go into the reserve fund because we do believe very strongly in having a reserve fund. And, you know, in the best of all worlds, part of the reason we're struggling with all this is because the national office took $30,000 out of our budget a few years ago and never put it back. And that's what created this deficit situation. And so normally that type of leftover money, so to speak, from the year before goes into our reserve fund. That's what we always did before, before the national office took out the $30,000. Now we're kind of struggling to recover from that.
I think the question that we're really asking here is how do you book that money? And I think the idea is that if money's coming in 2023, you book it in 2023. And if it's coming in 2024, even though it's in satisfaction of contracts that were made and were mostly paid in 2023, you book it in 2024. So I think going forward, that would be at least the way to approach that.
Right. And that's what Ruth said. But I mean, Kim asked literally what happens to the money in the bank. And it gets, I mean, in the best of all worlds, our goal is to make that money into reserve fund.
This is Kim.
Understood. Kim, before you go ahead, I want to go back. I've got you now on the stack. I want to go back to ask Stephanie, you know, what her opinion is about where we go here. This is not a perfect budget, but is it, in your opinion, is it enough to go ahead with now? Because really what we're doing, and we're already several months, 2.5 months, what is it, September, October, November, December. Yeah, we're two and a half months into the fiscal year, and we're still working on these budgets. And we've already talked about how the budgets aren't going to be perfect. They're not going to be ideal, but they're going to give us something that we can use as a benchmark to look and see how things are coming along at the individual units and get about that process rather than, you know, trying to make all of the budgets conform the way the ideal was. My ideal was to have them all the same and conforming. Stephanie,
point of order.
What's your thinking on that?
We're running out of time, and before we do, I want to move to extend.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Beth. Well said. Yeah, I'd like to ask to extend this meeting for a half an hour. Or I should ask you, Beth, how much do you want to extend?
That sounds good to me.
I'd like to extend it for an hour. We have another budget to look at.
Well, why don't we get to that when we get to it? I think if we're into that budget by that point, I hope we'll be able to do that. But hold on, Teresa. I think Kim actually was offering an amendment. You want to actually try to extend for an hour, Kim?
I don't care.
All right. Hold on, Teresa.
Point of order. I think motion to extend the time is not debatable.
Correct.
I withdraw.
Okay, thank you, Kim. We had a motion to extend for half an hour. Is there any objection?
I have a question. Point of information.
No.
Go ahead.
This is a motion to extend the time to only discuss the affiliates?
No, it's just to extend the meeting for a half an hour. Then we'll have to extend to discuss the affiliates. But let's just extend I'm asking to extend the meeting for half an hour. That was the motion. So is there any objection to that?
I have
none. Oh, that means we have to go to a vote, Teresa. Is that what you want to do?
Well,
you can. It's your privilege.
You don't really want to hear my answer to that question.
It's your privilege. You can do that.
Well, I've been told that I can't. This is not debatable, so I just wanted to clarify before the vote.
Okay.
Right? It's not debatable, right?
Well, so are you – yes. Well, the point of the question is, are you objecting? So do we have to go to a vote, or can we have it without objection?
So at this rate, this meeting, you're adding a half an hour to this meeting, but we could end up just talking about affiliates and still not getting to archives.
Well, I'm hoping we won't do that, and if we do, I'm hoping we'll extend for as much time as we need. Really, it is December 19th. We're still working on these
things. Yeah, it sure is. I'll withdraw my objection for now.
Thank you, Teresa. That's appreciated. Okay, so then I had asked if there was any objection, so now the objection has been withdrawn, so we're extended for half an hour. I would also now like to ask if we could continue. Okay, yeah, I'll get you in a second, Teresa. I want to ask if we can extend the conversation about the affiliates for 10 more minutes. Is there any objection to that? I'm sorry.
Maximum.
I'd like to be on the stack after Teresa.
Okay.
I have no objection to extend whatever.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking for. Is there an objection to extending for 10 more minutes on the affiliates? Hearing none. We'll go ahead with that. And now, I got Teresa and then Kim.
My concern is that I think you have a unit that is working as hard as it can and is doing everything it can to have a balanced budget and provide very useful services to our clients. And if they don't use that money to help those clients, then those clients might be tempted to go elsewhere. They really need to provide the service. And I find it not productive to spend so much time going into such minute detail about a unit that is doing its best to get the job done, that we're maybe not even going to get to the other budget that's on the agenda here and may even be rushed. So I don't quite understand why we could not have been just a little bit more understanding, or if we had had questions, you know, call Ursula up and ask her those questions, why this is taking so long to look at this budget. It's not as if it's a deficit, right? Thank you.
That is one of the questions. Kim.
Back to the staff.
Okay, I got Kim and then Beth. And then I want to go to Stephanie, I hope, to get her evaluation of where we go. Go ahead, Kim.
Okay, I want to make it clear that my concern with budgets in general and with the affiliates in particular is that I do think they are providing a really good service to many stations around in the country, outside the country, wherever they all are. But if a unit is running a deficit, they can't do that. So the it's not my concern is to make sure that they survive and thrive. And that's why I ask questions, because I want to make sure that they do run, you know, they're not running a deficit. As I said, I think there's too big a spread between the actuals and the budget, as it is. But I want to ask about this reserve fund, because I recall, like 2 years ago, a very big reserve fund, and it was, my understanding was it was getting used to pay for the revenue that wasn't coming in. So where is this reserve fund? How much is in there? And furthermore, whatever comes in 22 or 23 does not get booked in a reserve fund. It goes into the bank and it gets put in as some sort of current deposit in your affiliate support. Otherwise, we have kind of a big mess. You can book it, you know, put it on a piece of paper, well, this was for 23, but when it goes in the bank and when it comes out in the consolidated financials, she's booking what comes in that month. What category do I put it in? I don't have a category in the consolidated for reserve fund or what came in 23. It all goes into affiliate support for that current year. That's the way a fulfillment rate goes. As I said a while ago, it's kind of a revolving thing. So where is this reserve fund? How much is in there? And I suspect that at least part of that $30,000 that Biano took was for my station, and I apologize for that, it certainly was not my fault. And I was pretty mad about it because I'd been warning them, hey, this is going to happen, and it happened. And what are you going to do? We're worse off now than we were then. So, sorry.
I appreciate that.
Okay, let's let Ursula answer the question about where is the reserve fund.
She is, James. She is. Don't interrupt her. She's speaking. Thank you.
Kim.
So anyway,
Kim,
anyway,
please. Thank hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Kim, please don't do that. And Ursula, please go ahead.
So anyway, thank you for the sentiment, Kim. I truly appreciate that. The short answer to your question is there is no reserve fund now. What happened a few years ago was that about $30,000 was taken from our account and never part of it was most of it was KPFK payroll, and some of it was just kind of weird overcharges for various things. And no, that was never returned. And between that and COVID, there is no reserve fund right now. That's the truth. And we would love to start building it, at least conceptually. I didn't understand your questions about the bank. I mean, yeah, there's bookkeeping and then there's real money in the bank. But our goal is to have a certain amount of money in the bank to be a reserve fund and to try not to use it for operations unless we have to. So, that would be great to be able to start doing that again.
Thank you, Ursula. It's clear to me you did not understand the question in the sense that it was offered, and I appreciate that. Beth, let's go to you, and then I'm hoping we can go to Stephanie and figure out what to do. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you, yes. This is the one, the budget review in the Finance Committee is the one time each year that we as directors and treasurers have the opportunity to have direct contact with both the affiliates and the archives crews. So one time of the year that we do get to get into the details. Most other units are stations and are represented on the boards and committees. But for these two units in particular, this is the only contact we have. And it's specifically in, this is what committees are for, is for the detail work, is to get in down into the nitty-gritty of it. And if we hadn't wasted 45 minutes getting this meeting started at the beginning, we wouldn't have run out of time for the actual business of the committee now. So I thank you to both the affiliates and the archives crews who are here for their patience with us and their providing the information. And I want to hear everything you have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. So, Stephanie, I was trying to ask you, based on where we are here, I know that we're trying to get budgets on paper so that we can use them as a metric to see how stations are, and units are doing as we go forward through the year. And budgets are not sacrosanct. They're not holy scripture. They are estimates of what's going to happen. They're predictions of the future. So it's not like they have to be perfect, but I understand there are some glaring issues with, not with the work of the affiliates here, but with the kind of budgeting we've been doing and the kind of accounting we've currently got. So Stephanie, what is your thinking about all of this and where do we go from here with this?
I am 100% comfortable with this budget and would like it to be passed. The affiliates is one of a few divisions that actually takes a look at their budget on a regular basis and projects out and makes adjustments as necessary. So they look at their budgeting process as a living document. This paper is a living document and it's adjusted accordingly. I am 100% comfortable with what they have projected.
Thank you, Stephanie. So on that basis, I'm going to ask if there's a motion as to whether or not we should recommend what we have here to the PNB for their further review and analysis. Or just refer, I'm sorry, it should just be the, I guess I'll make a motion. The NFC recommends to the PNB that they accept the budget, the fiscal year 24 draft budget from the Pacifica Affiliates Network. I'm making that motion. We can now ask for discussion and see if we can get a vote. Is there any discussion? I think we've pretty much discussed it to death, but if anybody wants to sum up or repeat what they've said, this is the time. Hearing none, Arpaul, will you please take a vote?
Ask if there's objection.
Oh, thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you, particularly Ruth and Ursula. Sorry about the slow start. Thank you for sticking with it. And go get them. You guys are welcome to stay if you want to hear further. Excuse me. It was the NFC has approved your budget being moved on to the PNB.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. I appreciate
done.
It.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night. All right.
Good night.
Hi,
Mark.
Now it's your turn, Mark. So we extended for a half an hour. Arpaul, did you note what time that was? I think it was about 20 after.
18 after.
18 after, okay. So we're now at 20 minutes. So I'm gonna move to extend the meeting to 11 o'clock right now and have it, you know, be dedicated to the archives. So that's my motion. Is there any objection?
I just want some clarification. So it's 10:30 where you are. So you're moving to extend it for half an hour.
Correct. All right, I don't hear anything more. Is there any objection to extending the meeting until 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern? Thanks, everyone. I appreciate that. Let's try and get this done. Mark Torres from the Pacifica Radio Archives, thank you for bearing with us and for sticking it out. And please go ahead and start your presentation. I'm going to ask everyone to, when we come to the question and answers, please keep the questions and the answers short so that we can get through this. Thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, everybody. I'm going to defer to Stephanie Wells, who helped me put together this budget for this year. But I will preface, and then I'll be available for questions afterwards, but I will preface this budget presentation with the note that starting somewhere just before the pandemic, we had a pretty regular contribution to our central services fund by, you know, close to 5% from each of the stations, and that was reduced to one station, KPFA, and you know, I began working at the archives in 1990. And at that time, our operations was 100% funded by central services money. And we did not have any trouble making payroll or paying our expenses or healthcare up until the early 2000s when the bylaws changed, and then it became a whole new ballpark. But just to give somebody everybody here who wasn't around then, some institutional knowledge, the Pacifica Radio Archives has always been thought of as a record of the legacy of Pacifica that had a legitimate reason to be funded by the units that our records were helping preserve. Like many nonprofits and for-profits, the record of our legacy is something that deserves to be preserved by by the parent company or the parent foundation. And so when the bylaws changed, you know, we had to start creating revenue streams for ourselves just to help out with the debt that we incurred then. And, you know, here we are 20 years later, and we're still expected to generate revenue. And that has changed really the core values of what and business model of what we do at the archives, from 100% servicing stations, listeners, and fund drives to, you know, working on generating revenue ourselves. That being said, I would like to let Stephanie give the broad strokes of our budget proposal for this coming year, and keep in mind that we self-reduced our salaries from 100% to 75%, over a year ago. So we saw, you know, financial challenges in Pacifica and at the archives, and we tried to preemptively make adjustments in our budget to provide for those challenges. And Stephanie, if you want to take over, and I'll be available for questions afterwards.